Coming up, got Corey and Albert from No Ceilings and Dan from Yahoo Sports talking about fantasy basketball. We're talking about rookies. We're talking about young teams in the NBA. Lots to discuss with Corey, Albert, and Dan. That's all coming up right now. Joining me from No Ceilings, Corey and Albert, to talk about a bunch of questions regarding young teams and players around the NBA. Corey, Albert, how are you guys doing?
Man, it's amazing to be here with you in Vegas. We're watching hoops all day. I feel like we're at a music festival for basketball when we're at Summer League. So I'm so excited to talk to you and hang out. It's the best, man.
Feels like we're walking around in an oven outside. It's so hot, but great to be here.
Yeah, it feels good inside. Outside, not so much.
Albert's gone soft. This is a New Yorker who moved to LA and gets perfect weather. And like, I'm coming here, I'm like, this is fine.
Yeah, it's a little hot. It's a little bit hot. But let's start off with a hot question here. Number one, between the Wizards, the Jazz, the Grizzlies, and the Bulls, who wins a championship first?
Wow.
Ooh. For me, it would be the Grizzlies. That would be my pick. I hope that, I'm assuming health permitting with these questions, a fair amount of health and luck, but Boozer, Edie front court is pretty special potentially. The strength, the size, the rebounding. Boozer, I think, is going to be a superstar. When Edie was healthy last season, he was dominant.
Plus 17 net rating in Edie's minutes.
Wow.
Minutes.
Small sample size. But, you know, can he sustain that? Probably not, but still potentially elite levels, right? Cedric Howard, Leap. I think that their point guard room is really interesting, even after the trade, even who knows where they go with it, but just that collection from Clayton to
Ty Jerome.
Spencer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, I mean, they're very deep Javon Small, I love. And then Kareem Lopez. And they have a clear, like, they're going in, like, hey, we're going to be big and physical and strong and beat guys up. And man, if you watch the playoffs and the finals, they were so physical. So I just love the talent that they brought in, the vision that they have. And if we're picking out of that group, I think they have the high-end talent. I think they have the depth. I think they have a vision and an identity. And I think the other teams are kind of still figuring that stuff out.
This might be like the really boring answer, but the team that got the number one pick in the draft might have a good chance of winning the title. Obviously, one of the big questions in the NBA is what's going to happen with Anthony Davis? What's going to happen with, well, no, they just re-signed Trae Young, so gave him an extension. So that's nice. I just feel like I like the young roster with the mix of the older guys. They just brought in DeAndre Ayton. Maybe they can sell him on a more ancillary role to support the team, but I feel like they've got
him, but he's not gonna buy it every day.
We'll see. He's got to buy into the Clint Capella role that he doesn't want, right?
So, he's gonna have to.
Yes, right. Has no choice.
Right. It's getting late early.
But one guy that I really wanted to mention is Keyshawn George. I feel like Keyshawn is a guy who in year three might take a really nice jump and continue to show some of the reasons why he is such an enticing young prospect with the outside shooting. The shooting splits look good with him, but the plus size and the ability to pass the ball as well, I think there's a lot to like.
Trey Johnson, a very important part of this puzzle as well, because last year he had one game over 25 points. Didn't really pop. He didn't have that moment you might have thought he would have given his background as a shooter, as a scorer at high school and college. I feel like Trey Johnson is really one of the key X factors in that equation you're talking about, the Wizards becoming a true contender.
I mean, playing with Trey Young, obviously, and A.J. Dabanta, Trey Johnson's going to get a lot of open shots.
And Trey has to be good with their shared names.
Absolutely.
Different spelling, but still.
Yeah. But the quality of looks that he's going to get playing with those guys is a huge part of it, and we know what type of shooter he is, so it's a lot to be excited about.
Next question. Wizards, Jazz, Grizzlies, Bulls. Who has the worst young core?
Worst young core,
unfortunately, the Bulls.
Yeah, it's the Bulls.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that they're at a different part of where what they're doing than the other teams. I think the other teams have been building with a vision and identity for a longer time. Now the Bulls, with their new front office, going all in on Slap, and I think that we need to give them a couple of years to see how that vision plays out over drafts in which they probably aren't going to have a top 5 pick. Mm-hmm. I think they probably hope that they won't, because, you know, the 28 draft, they'd probably like to be a little bit better this year.
Skip the 27 draft. Because if they land top 5 in 2027, as a reminder to the listeners, they can't 3 years in a row. So they couldn't get top 5 in 2027.
Relegation.
Yeah. That's why, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, obviously with the odds now, we'll see how that all works out. It's going to be hard to kind of game your way into this stuff. But I do, obviously, Caleb Wilson is an elite talent. And I think Swain is really interesting. Buzelis is obviously somebody who's proven himself to be an intriguing young player. We didn't get to see Asenge last year, so we'll see. He looked good in the G League, you know, before he got hurt. Apparently, he's close to 7 feet tall now. That's been that's been going around lately,
We'll see.
Apparently, they've been growing in Boston too. so we'll see. They're at a much different part of their rebuild. I think we need to give them a little bit more time, but I think they have the worst right now.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. And also, like, the one team I feel like we haven't talked about is Utah. And they've got a lot of really fun young talent. So to put them there doesn't feel fair. They just picked up Darren Peterson.
Are they more in the other category?
Absolutely.
First team to win a championship.
Ace Bailey, right? Keontae George is showing a lot of growth in the league and playmaking ability, shooting, scoring, all that stuff. So they would definitely be more on that side.
You know, it's funny. I think you could answer Jazz. I mean, Grizzlies would have been my answer for the first one. Mm-hmm. Which team wins the title first? Then Jazz. And then Wizards. And then Bulls, I think we'll see.
Yeah, we're far.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see what it looks like. I really like Manas Buzelis.
Yeah.
I like the idea of what Noah Asenge could be. Josh Giddey's a really good young talent. Mm-hmm. I think Caleb Wilson has a chance to be really special. Right. I like Dalen Swain. I can't wait to see if Swain shoots well. You know, he told me in my interview with him the day before the draft, he's like, I used to be a knockdown shooter when I was a kid. It's like, okay, all right.
Let's see it.
Yeah. I haven't seen it in a long time, buddy.
Me too.
Let's see. Come on.
I mean,
me too. Before puberty, I used to be a better shooter. Something changed. When my body changed, I couldn't shoot anymore. I was a much better shooter.
My vision with Swain is less about him becoming a knockdown shooter and him just watching a lot of Stephen Castle tape. And like, maybe that's a little difficult in some respects with like a guy like Josh Giddey there handling a lot of the usage on
the
ball.
What, the Xavier version of him defensively? Is that what you're saying?
No, I want him to be whatever Castle is kind of developing into for San Antonio, where like, yeah, he's like on the ball and like making plays and stuff, but like that's maybe not his ideal role, but like getting these reps really early is definitely beneficial for him, and he's going to figure out a lot of decision-making, but like being a physical defender. But I do want him on the ball because his self-creation was one of the most interesting things at Texas this year.
Right.
So like you don't want him to go all the way back to the Xavier role. You kind of want to mix both of them. And I think that's ideally what is going to make him like a really good NBA player.
I do think if he is the guy as one of their primary creators, the shooting is very important.
Sure.
Like,
it can't just
be like Buzelis, Giddey, Asenge, Caleb Wilson, Dalen Swain, all these guys.
Brick City.
It's Brick City. And so I think that's where like we'll see how Bryson Graham and this new look Bulls front office develops things over the course of time with Chicago. But I think we're pretty much on the same page with those choices there for bet first to win a championship in the worst young core. All right, number three. Who's the under 25 player that no one talks about enough?
Let me go first.
You go.
Because people might hate my answer, but the reason why is because this team were the defending champs last season, ended up losing to the Spurs in the conference finals. But I feel like people are forgetting about how important Jalen Williams was to that team and the fact that he was truly the running mate to SGA, especially in the finals against the Pacers, had that big game towards the end. I feel like because he was hurt all year and he came back and left, we're kind of forgetting and undervaluing how important he is and how essential he is to the success of the Thunder. And this year, if he's back healthy, they're going to be terrifying because he's going to be there with SGA and he's going to be even better when he's healthy. And I wanted to throw that out there because he's such a damn good player.
I think it's a really good answer because he's so incredible defensively as well. Mm-hmm. He's an all-defensive player for good reason with his versatility on that end of the floor. And offensively, the secondary creation behind SGA. He was a remarkable player on their run to the NBA Finals. Hopefully he can return to that after a pretty underwhelming this most recent season. Yeah. Up and down with injuries.
It also feels like A.J. Mitchell took a little bit of his on-ball luster this year, which is an incredible luxury to have him being breaking out like that and being able to fill in. And obviously I think in the long run it's going to be really beneficial to OKC to have both of them like playing well together and having that confidence that they can run both of them on the ball. But, yeah, Jalen defensively, up and down, how strong he is, being able to guard fours is really important.
With OKC, before you get to yours, Corey, I think it is interesting, though, they draft Adeyemara and then Bennett Sturts. They trade up a spot, giving up draft capital to take him from Memphis. And so they're adding creation from different sources. They have a center who can run DHOs and facilitate from the high and low post. And they added Bennett Sturts, who is one of the most high-volume creators in all of college basketball the last 4 years. And so, like, they're adding more creators to give them even more depth and even more variety of ways that they can attack you on the offensive end. So I think, like, Jalen Williams is critically important for those in-game need-a-bucket situations to aid SGA. But I don't know who said it, reported it. I forget. So much stuff happens. But, like, SGA said, or the Canadian team might have said something about SGA wants to play off ball. So it's like, I wonder if that's part of the vision now, is moving SGA a little bit more off ball to add even more variety to their offense. So I don't know. It's just going to be very interesting. What do you think, Corey?
No, I think that is, like, they need to have him off ball a little bit, because I think as he can, I mean, he's still young, but as he continues to get older, I mean, one, you have the luxury of having all of these guys, and you need them to get reps on the ball as well. But, like, carrying that kind of usage and responsibility year in, year out, like, is going to be grating on your body.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and like, he's a gamer. He plays. Like, you know.
I think it was.
Yeah.
He was a little tired.
Right. Like, so I think that ultimately, like, it's going to be a good thing for him to be more of the guy who can smoothly transition back and forth, because that's the NBA now. Like, there are so many guys who are so good on the ball that you have to share. And obviously, he's the best one.
Right.
So, like, it trickled down instead of up. But for him to be able to do that, I think it's going to make their offense a lot more unpredictable and ultimately allow him to be fresher for when he actually needs to be on the ball.
Who's your under 25 player no one talks about enough?
Ryan Rollins. I mean, I loved Ryan Rollins coming out of his draft, and mid-major guy, and he broke out last year for Milwaukee. Now, is he going to get a ton of national attention this year, especially without Giannis? I don't know, but he went from like 6 points a game to like 17 points a game last year, right? I think he's going to be a 20-plus point per game scorer this year. I think he'll have more on-ball responsibility, playing with the ball in his hands. He's turned himself into a really good playmaker. So this is a guy who I think is going to stuff the stat sheet.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, he's somebody who continuously gets overlooked, you know, whether it's because of the college he went to or now the market that he's playing in. I think he's going to have really good synergy with Braden Burry's rookie coming in.
Tyler Hero.
And, you know, like, I think that's, like, going to be a really productive backcourt. Like, the rest of their roster and the depth of, like, teams in the East, obviously there's going to be questions. I don't think they're going to be competing. But I think he's just going to continue to ascend over the next few seasons because he's put in the work and he's proven, like, this is a dude who can go out and play real productive basketball. He can play the other side of the ball. Even though he's 6'3", he's got, like, a 6'10 wingspan, I think it was. Like, you know, so I think that he's somebody who's, like, a real sleeper as, like, an NBA guard.
Next question. Who's the third or fourth year player primed for a breakout?
Brandon Miller.
Okay. Love it.
Yeah.
I'm a Miller guy.
Yeah, I know. Well, I know you were, you know, very, very vocal. I likewise had him at two in that class. And you say, like, all right, he's the number two pick. Like, this might be an obvious choice, but Charlotte last year really started to build, no pun intended, a lot of buzz, you know, with their team and the way that they played.
Yeah.
Now they move away from that style. I mean, they're not going to move away from the style, but they move LaMelo.
The centerpiece of it.
And the catalyst of everything that they do in a lot of ways. Now, I remember the last time that we recorded together, I was like, we were talking about Khan. I was like, what if he's playing more on the ball and he looks a little bit like a shorter Luka eventually? I think they're going to lean into that a little bit, but I think Brandon Miller is going to get a lot of those reps too. And he put up the last two seasons 20 plus points, and he was the second, now maybe third option last year at times, health permitting, you know, because that's something he's struggled with.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a high volume 3-point shooter. I mean, I think this is a guy with more touches, more usage, can be a guy who gets close to 25 points per game. I think he's a really good passer. He's competitive. And I think that this culture that they're building in Charlotte, I really love what they're doing there, and he's a major part of it. So I think he's another guy, like, people forget about him a little bit, I think, because he has been in and out of the lineups. But I really think, like, next year he's going to establish himself, potentially be an all-star level player. So I'd go Brandon Miller.
I like that choice a lot, especially given how things have changed in Charlotte. He feels like a really good bet to break out. How about you, Albert?
We kind of mentioned him before when we were talking about the Bulls. Booz Ellis is my guy. A guy who upped his scoring up to like 16 points a game last year, was playing more minutes. But I mean, early on, the minutes were kind of strange, and then he kind of went up. I just feel like with the philosophy of the Bulls now, right, they want more length, size, physicality, athleticism. He kind of has all that already. So this new front office is coming in, and they've got Booz Ellis in tow, and they're going to be excited about giving him the keys to do more, to get free and do whatever he wants. And I think that's going to be really great for him. And I like, look, you were a big fan of Booz Ellis, right, in that draft?
I was iffy on him.
I had like fifth on my board, something like that.
Actually, you're right. So I was also kind of questioning.
Yeah, I'm Lithuanian, so like sometimes I tend to like knock Lithuanian guys because I don't want to come off with my bias showing a little bit.
That's like me. Remember earlier in the year we did a podcast and I was like, oh, I can't imagine I haven't moved Cam Boozer to number one. And like then my board flipped. I ended up with Boozer at one, Peterson two, DeBonta three. Yeah. DeBonta and the Brockton boy, just like me, two Brockton guys. You know, growing up, I was like, I'm a little overly critical of the Brockton kid, right?
I just feel like he's going to continue. Like the trajectory is good. He's progressing in the right way, in the right direction. I just feel like he's got a good opportunity to continue to grow in what he's good at and continue to show more of what he's capable of.
Just looking at the 2024 draft, Risacher, what's your confidence level on him breaking out?
I just feel like mentally.
You look like you just threw up your mouth when I said that.
No, just in the playoffs, it looks like he kind of broke a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, the confidence is a little shot. He's not really sure of himself and what he's good at. And
also
I think
he can't shoot.
He's got to buy into a role, too. And I think
Can't dribble. That's a problem, right?
Getting taken first is hard.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a curse for him. And I think he kind of needs a reset. And maybe a trade might even benefit him.
Shouldn't have been a top 10 pick. Right. I can't believe it.
What I will say, we spoke to somebody. I'm not going to like, because I don't know if it has gone through and they're going to do it or not.
Okay, yeah.
But we spoke to like a trainer who, if he actually gets in the gym with this guy, I might actually feel like there's a plan for him,
right?
Because it seemed like the team was trying to organize it. So I don't know, but if maybe there's a shot in the dark.
We'll be right back.
This is not like big breaking news, but Sham Sharani reported as we're recording, Bam Adebayo and Tyler Hero got into a physical altercation in Las Vegas on Friday, in which Adebayo struck Hero, sources tell ESPN. Then Shams followed up with that, saying that the altercation occurred at a practice court in a Las Vegas hotel this morning. Starting when Adebayo approached Hero about comments the guard made critiquing the center on social media after their 7-year run in Miami ended. How about that?
Man. Bam Bam Bigelow.
Wow, that's...
Hey, I would not want to get run up on Bam Adebayo.
I would not either. That is for sure. Would not want to mess with Bam Adebayo. I think he's not a third or fourth year breakout, but I am going to be very intrigued to see what Kasparis Jakachonis does with the touches in Milwaukee away from Spo. Kalel Ware as well, you know?
He's
an interesting guy. Could go way up or just completely collapse.
I think Milwaukee could be a fun league pass team.
Like, you mentioned Ryan Rollins already.
Yes. Like I there's a lot of like fun pieces there where you're like, all right, they're not gonna have it figured out, but like, hey, let's get in on this early. Like, I saw this band at a basement show and now they're playing, you know, 5 years later they're playing arenas or whatever, you know, like they got a lot of pieces.
Right.
Some quick hitters here. Next one, which rookie team fit is best?
My favorite is Zubi Ejiofor and the Hawks. As a Knicks fan, watching that series where the Knicks just kind of flipped the switch and took over, I felt like the Hawks needed a punch of toughness. And with Zubi, you know what you're getting. You're getting a guy who's going to play a really physical brand of basketball, but also has the size and the measurables and like just the tenacity that you need. And I feel like the Hawks kind of need that little punch of energy from him and just personality. And I feel like that's a really great fit. And obviously playing with Kingston Flemings as well. I mean, I don't know how the minutes are going to work out, but I just feel like that personality and team fit in terms of what they need just made a lot of sense for me.
I'm a Johnny's guy, so I love that answer. Yeah. Zubi's my guy. Yaxel Lundeboer. I mean, this is a day one contributor. I mean, and he has to be because he's old, right? Let's get that out of the way. He looked phenomenal yesterday in person. And the thing that stands out the most, and you saw this at Michigan, he just like doesn't make the wrong play. He just always makes the right decision. He doesn't like force nonsense. He's just like, if the ball needs to be swung, he's going to swing the ball. If he's going to get an open shot, he's going to shoot it and he's not going to overthink it. If somebody closes out hard, he's going to attack. If somebody rotates over, he'll make the pass. If nobody does, he'll yam it. Like, and then defensively, like, he's so versatile. 6'10", fluid, 7'3.5" wingspan, right. Strong.
240, Ryan.
And, like, he's such a late bloomer, and, like, his journey is so, like, non-traditional that, like, I think he's going to continue to get better. Being around Jimmy Butler, Draymond.
To get a foot pop for AD.
Yeah.
I said this in my pod on Friday. Yaxel's been so good, he makes Butler more expendable.
Mm.
That's how good Yaxel's been. Yaxel is doing it all.
Let me ask you a question. I know Jimmy's got the injury.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather have AD or Jimmy Butler when the going gets tough?
If I get AD and I get LeBron and I guarantee Draymond returns instead of leaving to go play with LeBron.
Okay, so the part of
else.
The equation is that LeBron's coming if
yes,
you get AD.
Yes, but I also would rather have – I'd rather have AD starting in October with a chance to play 50, 60 games instead of Jimmy Butler coming back in February and having to work his way back from a torn ACL. Because, like, the West is so loaded, you can't go 3 months, 4 months, 5 months without – one of your key players, Jimmy Butler, they need to start winning in October. So they have to trade him if they want a chance to actually be a playoff team and not just sneak in as the 9 seed and win two games in the play. And they get to try to win more than that. Get top 6 guaranteed or even aim for top 4. That's what they should be angling for. Stephen Curry's still a top 5 guy.
Yeah.
Let's not mess around. I can't stand it. I'm so sick of it. The Warriors are just – it's so tiring. Like, just pick a side. Mm. Blow it up and trade your guys. Mm-hmm. Or go all in around the face of your franchise, the best player you're ever going to have,
sure.
Who's still awesome.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing in this middle, like, this nonsense? Yeah. Go for it.
I get that. And him not being available for games is obviously tough. If you could tell me, though, that they can get to the point where they're a top 6 seed and Jimmy's healthy by the playoffs,
unlikely.
I'd rather be in the trenches with
unlikely.
Him.
Sure.
I'm with you. Like, it's a weird situation. Yeah. And honestly, if I was the Wizards, I might rather have Jimmy Butler around than AD anyway.
Well, I don't want to pay. I've been very consistent in saying this. I think all of this is public negotiating. I think the stuff about the Wizards not trading AD is them trying to increase the value of him to try to get a team to give up more. Mm. That all the stuff about him being willing to re-sign there is really he's willing to re-sign for the full max.
Sure.
But in reality, he would sign for less somewhere else than the full max. I think it's all public negotiating from the Wizards, from other teams, and from Clutch Sports. That's what I think it is. I think it's very possible he stays in Washington and he's there next season. And that's that. And like this is all just summer drama that turns into nothing. But I think all of this right now is just public negotiating. I think LeBron is waiting for the situation to play out, wants to see where AD goes, in addition to seeing how other situations continue developing. But with AD specifically in Washington or Golden State, if I'm the Warriors, give me AD plus LeBron plus Draymond Green. Because otherwise, if LeBron goes somewhere else, it is very possible Draymond could decide, I'm going to go there with LeBron and go try to win my 5th ring instead of going to Golden State where we are sitting on Jimmy Butler waiting for him to come back in March and I don't know. Who knows? Maybe we get in as a 7 seed, and then like, we get blown out in the first round.
And they lost their depth, like some depth in Quentin Post.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like
Charles Bassey. You better hope he's he's okay, but I'm not so sure he's the answer there. So, those are some good answers for best rookie team fit. Which rookie team fit is the worst?
For me, it's Nate Amen. I don't love the fit in Milwaukee just because I feel like. With that roster looking how it does, I don't know. I just wonder.
They're clean slate, Albert, aren't they?
I know, but I kind of don't want that for him. Like, I kind of feel like he should be on a more like veteran laden team where there's very little pressure. Because I look at him and I think he needs 3-4 years to really get comfortable, to physically get acclimated to the league. I just don't think he's a day one contributor at all. Maybe not even a year two contributor. And I feel like if he was on a more veteran laden team where you'd have more time to develop and didn't have a million reps to do stuff, I think that'd be better for him. It's kind of where I'm at.
Personally, I'm excited that he's going to be mentored by Kyle Kuzma. So,
another great point.
Maybe on the stock market.
Speaking of stocks, my answer is the stock guy in the draft, Allen Graves. I just don't love, like, I like the player, and I philosophically understand why he's interesting to this organization that has traditionally valued this with Masai and has continued to value this, it seems,
right.
With new leadership. But I just struggle to see where he fits in, because personally, I don't think he could play the five at all. Like, I don't think he's a small ball five in spurts. Like, I just, I don't think he's a five in the, you know, Mountain West or whatever. Like, sure. Like, but that wasn't even great there. I think he's like a pure four. And like, I don't want to force CMB to have to play more minutes at the five to placate Allen Graves. Because while he could do it, and I think that's an asset to do in small bursts, I just don't want that to be his natural position to try to develop Graves. And then you're bringing in Kawhi, potentially, I guess.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. Into the fold. And, like, it's just very crowded there with guys who I'm just like, I don't know where he fits in. And so, like, it's not an indictment on the player itself, because I think Allen Graves is really good. Maybe not as good as his advanced stats said, but certainly a really good prospect. So I just think it's a funky fit.
So my counter, it's not even a counter, I'm just trying to rationalize why the Raptors did what they did. Graves was good off the bench, and their thing is like, we're going to use a late teens pick to bring in a guy to play the same role in the NBA where he can highlight his strengths and just continue to play that role where he's comfortable and be additive to what we're building, is maybe what they were thinking.
I think it's fair. I mean, I like Graves there personally. I mean, it's funny, for worst fit, my worst grade on draft night was Zubi Ejiofor to the Hawks. So, I mean, for me, I saw that pick in the first round thinking, I want them to get a true big, a true five to play with Onyeka Okongwu. And then they draft Bisar with the 52nd pick, and he's a little lean too. I wonder if maybe that's just part of their philosophy there, where Zubi being the heavier, stronger guy, even though he's a little shorter, he's not a traditional five. If that's the vision that they have for the kind of that role, the tough guy role, and then they have their spacer, Bisar, and he still can be a secondary guy as a shot blocker, and Okongwu with his versatility and all the things he does. Maybe that's the vision. Maybe things work out there. The only guy I'd add to worst fits, I wasn't happy when the Nets got Joshua Jefferson. I'm not a big Jefferson guy personally. I'm just not a big fan of him.
They have a type, though.
They do have a type, the guys who cannot shoot the ball. And I think that's clearly what they're going for with that roster, another year of a lot of losing. Next question here. Which rookie has you concerned the most in Summer League?
Okay, so sticking with Atlanta, and maybe I'm reaching here because, you know, he was the 50-whatever pick, and I think he would have went higher if, you know, there wasn't agency. But I just don't see it. Bisar, and
not a fan.
I'm not a fan.
Neither of you.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't think he's like a bad player or whatever. And like, when you're drafting in the end of the second round, like, everything's a shot in the dark at that point. But like, I was watching him yesterday. Like, the physicality overwhelmed him.
Yeah.
I don't think he's as good a shooter as his reputation leads you to believe. Like, he's not good at the free throw line.
Bad.
You know, like, he'll be a fine shooter, but like, he might just be one of these like big for no reason guys. You know, I don't think defensively he's like a big time impact guy. And just watching him, just like, look, it's a second round pick. If he misses, whatever. But they did give him a real contract, so like, I don't know. I'm underwhelmed by him and the reputation that I guess he kind of had, where everyone was like, oh my gosh, he's falling so far. Where it's like, I don't know, is he?
Albert, what's your choice for this question?
This is not an overreaction to last night. I was a little frustrated with Acuff and Wagler. I wanted them to give us a better performance, and they didn't. For the record, I really like Keaton Wagler. He was number five on my board. Really like the player, but I just wanted more from them. Neither one of them I'm worried about long term. It's just that here in Summer League, I wanted more, and I'm mad at them, is essentially what it is.
Well, Acuff has not been efficient yet.
Yeah.
No.
He hasn't had a single efficient game. So
but we've seen this before.
Exactly. Right. So I'm not concerned. We've seen players come in. They're adjusting. They're trying things out. I'm not worried. With Wagler specifically, I did not see the game live. I only saw clips. The lack of burst is not anything new.
Yeah.
Like, we knew that would be adjustment. We knew the physicality would be an adjustment. So I think with him, I'm not panicking one bit. this is, but it's just something to monitor. Right. I mean, I didn't have him fifth on my board. I had him like eighth or something like that. So I was a little lower, but still high enough to have him ahead of a bunch of really good prospects.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not panicked there yet, but it's just a little noteworthy.
I will say, like, being in the arena, the energy was shifted. Really weird. Because everybody was packed out for DP and AJ.
Well, the real reason why the energy was weird is because as we were finished recording, we saw all the paid-for fans, the hired actors the Clippers have. They walked through those doors right over there from where we're recording right now, chanting and howling, and there's some lady, like cheering them on. Like, oh, well, they're actors.
That was weird, too.
It's really weird.
Because they were, like, loud and in, and it was, like, there was energy there, but the rest of the arena, everybody left and it died. So it was just like a very bizarre moment that we were like, what is happening right now?
Well, I hope for the Clippers. I hope for their real fans, not the actors, that they get something to cheer for genuinely moving forward in the years ahead for the Clippers.
Yeah.
Our next question, which player has surprised you the most in summer league?
My guy's AJ DeBonson. And I just want to say, like, he was the number one pick in the draft, so I that's there. I just felt like I was surprised by how easy the game was for him. I like the fact that he was, like, he just acclimated so easily. He was walking to the rim constantly. He felt the moment, lived up to the moment, put on some highlight plays. He gave the fans what they wanted, and that's all I was looking for.
He was 2-for-13 outside the
okay.
area.
It's okay. Like, it's the first game. He had, what, 27 last night?
Tied Blake Griffin for the most points in a debut by a rookie in Summer League.
I mean, this year, the Summer League is testing out the one free throw for 2 points or one free throw for 3 points.
Which
thing.
Summer
League, it's nice. Even though for that particular game, there were 4,000 fouls. Like,
right.
Darren Peterson had nine. You know, like,
let's get out of here. Like, this is ridiculous.
So imagine if you did have to shoot multiple free throws in that situation.
Oh my God.
But like, you couldn't keep AJ from the rim.
He did get anywhere he wanted to.
Wherever.
So like, but that's why he's going to be such a devastating scorer, because even on nights where he's not making shots, he's going to get to the rim.
Yeah. He starts every game with 8 points, essentially. Mm-hmm. So
yes. What was your answer for that one, Corey?
My answer is going to be Cody Williams.
Mm.
Yeah. Who, thank God, I've kind of been like, oh, he's playing well, because it's his third year. If you're playing summer league in year three. But I kind of like that he's actually playing, because a lot of guys who I feel like should be playing aren't.
Mm.
And so, like,
yeah,
I think that it's important to get these reps and try to build his confidence. Now, there are still things I'm watching and I'm like, all right, like, he still isn't bursty enough to blow by guys necessarily, but I think he looks stronger. He's willing to dip his shoulder, create a little separation. So even on those, like, shots where you're like, I don't love a 17-foot jumper here because you couldn't get all the way to the rim, at least there's separation now. But I thought he made some really nice reads, quick decisions, 0.5. Had a couple of, like, left-handed live dribble, like, reads that were really impressive. He almost had a nice poster yesterday that, like, he's willing to go up and embrace physicality. So, going back to how deep this Utah roster is, like, he actually played, like, you know, I know it's like Mickey Mouse March and, you know, at the end of the season. But I thought that, like, he had a positive ending to his season. And hopefully he can kind of continue this momentum that he's building to be a NBA player.
Yeah.
We got a mailbag question to close us off here from Jason. Is the 2027 NBA draft as bad as everybody says it is?
No, it never is. I feel like it never is as bad as people think. And there are some people at the top of the class, barring, you know, that they stay in the class next year, that we're really excited about. Like, I know, Corey, recently you just did a deep dive on Jordan Smith Jr.
Yeah.
We really like it. You know, there's a lot to like there. There are a lot
what
of guys.
To like?
Tough defender. Like, nasty defender. Offensively, there's some stuff that he can do as well. Some stuff to like. Attacking the basket.
Or he's like, he could be like Drew Holiday.
Hmm.
Like, top end, like, maybe, you know, like, or maybe like what we wanted Eric Bledsoe to be, you know, when they were calling him baby LeBron. Tyrann Stokes is really talented.
Can he shoot? Stokes a lot for listeners.
Yeah.
Projected number one.
Here's my,
on some boards. I don't know about that.
There are some personality concerns that people have. When we saw him at Hoop Summit, we were like going in with that impression, but we were like, yo, like, he's so talkative on the court. His teammates love him. He's joking around. It was great energy. So on the court, I don't know if there's a ton of worries. Maybe it's more off the court. Kansas did just post pictures. I don't know if you saw them today, of the Kansas team running on campus. And while everybody else was wearing athletic clothes, he had jeans on, which leads me to believe, I'm inferring that maybe he showed up late to practice. This is an inference.
That's not great.
He was in jeans, so like, you know, but he made it.
He made it.
So, but he
he was at the back of the line though.
But he's a big, physical, skilled, like two-way guy.
Right.
Caleb Holt is really interesting. Yep. Like big defender,
a branch
shooter.
Of BYU. Can we go 2 years in a row with a BYU player number one?
He's a lot of fun. Really fluid, grid size, condor-like arms. It's just, will he shoot it well enough is a big question.
Yeah.
So
he's a little raw.
Yeah.
He's a little raw. But you got
Brandon McCoy, Brandon Michigan.
Yeah.
I like, love him.
Dog.
Yeah.
Dog.
Unbelievable.
Joseph Minovich, you know, is like somebody who's building a lot of hype as an international. And then like guys like Wagler always pop up, right?
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. And you go, oh, this guy?
Yes.
You know, like, so there are going to be those guys. And
Swego hopefully comes over next year.
Yeah, Swego's playing at Villanova.
He could be great.
The draft is not going to be as bad as people are making it out to be. It's just like, oh, this draft is so elite in 2026 that it's kind of like you're coming back down to reality of what a weaker draft typically looks like. But like, I think that the top talent is probably better than 24. Like, I don't think like there's going to be a Richichet who goes one here.
Well, as a follow-up here, I think it was you, Albert, earlier, who mentioned you like you wouldn't want to be top five again this year because of 2028. Yes. As a follow-up for Jason here, 2028, is that really the draft to look ahead to if you're a bad team now?
I mean, potentially, right? JBB, he's going to be at Duke. Marcus Spears, he just committed to Texas. So these are some big time names that potentially could be coming out that year. So obviously teams are going to be slightly slanted more towards 28, but I still think there's a lot of talent in 27. I think it's to Corey's point, the juxtaposition of the two. This year's draft in 27 makes 27 feel a lot weaker, but there's a lot of talent there and guys that we like a lot and we're excited to watch.
I can't wait to watch these prospects, talk about them with you guys. Everybody can check you guys out at No Ceilings. Corey, Albert, thank you guys for joining me. Enjoy the rest of Summer League.
Yeah, man. Pleasure as
always. Appreciate it.
And we'll be right back after this break. To discuss fantasy basketball sleepers, joining me from Yahoo Sports, Sam Titus. Dan, what's up, man?
What's up, KOC, man? I'm hyped to see you in Vegas, man.
Always good to see you in person, Dan. We're going to talk about rookies and sophomores that could be sleepers this year. Let's start out with the rookies. Give me a rookie fantasy basketball sleeper.
So when you talked about, you know, wanting to come to talk about sleepers, I was like, what criteria are you really going for here? Because, like, this draft is loaded, especially at the top of the draft. So I was going towards, like, let me go to, like, the late lottery. And I think Yoxo Lendenberg is a guy that, like, to me, just stands out as a person that's going to contribute right away for the Warriors. I mean, we'll see how this LeBron sweepstakes thing ends. But there's a glaring need for them to have somebody that's young, ready to contribute right now. He's like practically my age, but like this game, I mean, the scoring, the 3-point shooting, the assists, all that stuff is going to translate to fantasy. This is a guy that I think you're going to be selecting probably within the first 100 picks this year, even though he's a rookie.
I think the point you're making there about first 100 picks is also true, because with him, it's the type of thing you assume some games miss for their older team.
Sure.
Whether it's Steph, whether it's Draymond, whether it's LeBron, if he does end up signing there. And if LeBron doesn't go there, it raises the value for Yaxel, especially if you have an early draft.
Absolutely.
In fantasy basketball.
Yeah, and Dynasty Leagues, I mean, he's looking like a rock-solid top five pick right now, just by the way he's looked across California Classic and now his first game in Summer League.
Yeah, I think with Yaxel, it's the type of thing also. There's an upside with him because of the fact that he can have a 12-rebound game. He can have a 25-point game getting hot from three. Maybe it's from off cuts. Maybe it's off of attacks to the rim. He can have a game where he has two steals, three blocks. He can basically tally up numbers across the box score just like he did at the college level, both at UAB where he was a double-double machine, and then at Michigan where he wasn't playing five as much because he was sharing the floor with Adiemar and Merez Johnson, but still could have these big rebound games. So I think Yaxel, from a fantasy perspective, in the same way in reality, is going to be a really solid bet to be an all-rookie guy. I don't know about rookie of the year, if the touches are going to be there compared to other higher selected rookies, but you can't rule that out with him and even in real life.
Absolutely. And I think that that's the key for any of these, you know, sleepers that we're talking about here, because if you look at the top of the draft, there's like really good opportunities for a lot of these kids to play valuable minutes right away. once you start getting to like the 10 to like, you know, later in the draft, like you don't know if these rotational guys are going to actually make an impact, but Yaxel's proven that he is like too good for summer league already. So I think that's a good start for him and potentially his fantasy prospects.
Give me your next rookie sleeper.
So I'm going to go a little bit deeper into the lottery now. Hans Steinbach. Like what I saw yesterday, I think that he could really push Ryan Kalkbrenner right now for that those backup minutes behind Musa Diabate. And I think what really stands out is obviously, you know, in NCAA, he led the NCAA in rebounding. So you know what he can do off the glass. But I like the connectivity as a playmaker. He can shoot. He just looks versatile. And that's what I want in a fantasy prospect. Like, I need you to contribute across stats and across, you know, the box score. And he just looked very impressive in 20 minutes. And I don't see any reason why, with the way the Charlotte Hornets are now constructed, even though they got Naz Reid, they're going to find a way to get him at least 15, 20 minutes off the rip. And I don't know that that's going to necessarily translate to redraft value right now, but Dynasty, his stock is up after what I saw yesterday.
I think for Dynasty as well with him, because clearly with Musa Diabate, as much as they love him, he's a very good hustle center.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily see him as the future five of that franchise. They view him more as like one of the guys, a very important role player, but they drafted Hannes Steinbach to be a guy that could be their long-term starter at the five spot. As a guy who, not only that, if you're thinking long-term with Hannes, there's three-point shooting potential with him, too. He shot well over 70% from the free throw line at Washington last year, hit a handful of three-pointers. I heard he shot it very well in pre-draft workouts as well from three-point range. So I think long-term, you're getting a guy that provides interior scoring value, playmate, connective playmaking, rebounding, and then the potential three-point shooting
box
as
check,
well.
Box check, box check.
And that's what you're looking for. How about sophomores?
Sophomores. Before, I just want to throw one more out there. Tarse Reed.
Okay.
I think he's going to get minutes. I think he's stronger, faster. What he's doing on the glass, double-double potential. I think he could get real minutes behind Wembanyama. So, sophomores. Yoan Berenguer. What he did yesterday, 18 points, 12 rebounds, 4 blocks. The way that he was doing it, it was lobs. It was hook shots. He even took it on the point of attack, did a Euro step in the lane and got it to the cup. It's just versatile. And when I look at the Minnesota Timberwolves front court, there's a very good chance that he could play right away. Naz Reid isn't there anymore. You're behind Rudy Gobert, his contract's coming up. Like, Berenguer is going to be the future here. And I think a lot of Minnesota Timberwolves fans can be really excited, and fantasy managers, because he looked like the real deal. He went to work in the offseason because, I mean, he even attempted a three-pointer. Like, he just looked so good that I'm hard-pressed to think, like, he's going to get valuable minutes into the 20s. And when Rudy Gobert gets into foul trouble, like he inevitably will, Berenguer is going to be a nice little piece there with Ant and LaMelo.
And I think the other thing to think about is if you're thinking about Berenguer in fantasy basketball, whether it's redraft or dynasty, the Wolves have shopped Gobert around. And so very clearly, there's at least some type of willingness to trade him for the right deal. That right deal has not occurred yet. But if that right deal comes, in all likelihood, it's not bringing back a center that doesn't space the floor,
no.
that protects the rim. It's going to be a center that it's not going to be a center back. It's going to be a wing. It's going to be a forward. It's going to be a guard. It's not going to be another center. So that means who moves into that slot? It's Yoan Berenguer. And it's even Rocco, the other 7-footer as well, who could play some backup as well. But I think Berenguer is the best bet with his switchability on defense, his shot blocking, his verticality on offense, and who knows what those raw skills turn into.
Yeah, I think he could be. I'm not going to go crazy in redraft leagues yet, but I'm just saying, like, especially for your point of putting Gobert on the trading block, there's just a lot of fantasy attributes that he has as a rebounder, block shots. Like, he looks like he just looks really good. I can't wait to see him play in that pick and roll with LaMelo Ball.
Yeah, I know, exactly. LaMelo is going to open things up for a lot of people there in Minnesota. Any other sophomores you have?
Yeah, so let's talk about Trey Johnson a little bit. And before I get to Trey, your take on AJ DeMonte, you weren't impressed yesterday?
Look.
You weren't impressed?
I thought he was fine.
You weren't impressed?
I thought he was fine.
Bro.
He was okay. He was 2-for-13 outside of the restricted area.
I mean, but that's he's working on it's summer pick. League. He was unstoppable. How many times did they foul him? He drew like 14 fouls.
I know he can draw fouls. I want to see something new.
The defense?
He's okay.
Oh, my God.
He was fine.
All right. So the other guy that was really good.
I mean, you said you thought he was amazing?
I thought he was great.
He showed flashes.
I think he was the best player
on the
court.
He had the big dunk. He had some moments. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he was trash. I'm saying he was fine.
He came more prepared than I expected him to be, especially considering Darren Peterson.
Better than 2-for-13 outside of the restricted.
All right. That's all. It's coming. It's coming. Give it time.
I hope it. I think it will. I'm a big AJ fan. Don't get me wrong. We're Brockton represent. Bro. We're both from Brockton, Mass. I love AJ, but I thought he was fine.
That was killing me watching that yesterday. But that aside, Trey Johnson was spectacular yesterday. He can score at all three levels. A good friend of mine compared him to Allen Houston. I love that comp because this the way that he can get to his shot at any spot and stretching the floor. He just looks so comfortable. I think that he's going to be the Wizards' sixth man. And if you're playing in points leagues, I think that that does hold some value. Trey Young, of course, like leading the way there. I think he's going to get him a lot of
easy looks. And AJ jacking things up as well.
yeah. But like if you look at that second unit, like him, Bob Carrington,
Keyshawn George,
Bilal Coulibaly, like I think Trey Johnson.
There's a lot of guys.
There's a lot of guys, but I think Trey Johnson is showing right now that his quick trigger is going to be very, I think he can get to it at an NBA level in rotation when he actually sees consistent minutes.
I love Trey Johnson in last year's draft. He only had one game with over 25 points last year. I was hoping for like a second half explosion from him. It never really came. Maybe this year it will, because I am incredibly high on him, especially as a perimeter shooter.
Yeah, and they don't have much perimeter shooting. Like, you're not really relying on Bub for that. You're not relying on Bilal for that. So, like, I don't know. It's kind of similar to, like, going back to the rookies, like LeBaron Filon. There's these guards that are going to have to just be microwave buckets off the bench. And I think that that's going to actually hold some value here. We'll see what happens with AD, but I'm just really excited about this young Wizards team. Like, they look like they're coming together, and I think Trey Johnson looks better from what I saw in first game in Summer League.
I'm very excited for fantasy basketball coming up, Dan. People can check you out. Yahoo Sports.
Sure.
Play Yahoo's fantasy basketball signups.
High
coming
score,
up.
Nine cat leagues, whatever you want to play, guys.
We got it all. We got it all. Dan, thank you so much for joining me.
Always KOC.
Thank you.